Crossing the muddy bed of a small creek, Ryan angled around a towering pile of crumbling bricks that could have been anything in another time. In the cool shade, he paused to sip the tepid water from his canteen, then continued onward. The work was grueling, the weeds clinging to the blade of the knife, the swaying vines sometimes as hard as wood, and the impact would jar Ryan to the bone. But the man never slowed, moving with an iron strength that had kept him alive in 100 battles. Suddenly, something large darted through the treetops, moving at incredible speed. Christy tracked it with the muzzle of her revolver until it was gone from sight.
Monkeys?
Primate of some kind, but I wouldn't want to bet the ranch on what kind.
The companions strained to hear or see anything more. The background noises of the tropical rainforest, a never-ending murmur. They waited, but whatever had passed by was gone for the moment.
Keep moving. It's gone.
Going to need fresh water soon. We have enough for 2-3 days.
Phew, no prob.
Jack produced a knife from within his sleeve, and grabbing a fat green vine, he cut through. Clear fluid gushed from the severed stem, soon slowing to a trickle, then a steady flow of drops. Mildred sniffed the fluid, then allowed a drop to land on the back of her hand. When there was no pain, she scratched her skin with a thumbnail and let another drop flow over the tiny wound.
Doesn't stink or sting.
She lapped a little from her cupped palm.
Oh, God, that's good.
Done before. Bayou, jungle, same thing.
As the companions trudged on, they cut the fat vines and caught the initial flow into their canteens until the containers were full, then drank directly from the gushing vines.
Oh, Gaia, I needed that.
Tasted kind of sweet. Really good.
Lots of food, clean water. We could do worse for a home than this if we can't leave.
Concentrating at his work, Ryan didn't reply. His shirt was drenched, but his arm never slowed in its machine-like destruction of the limbs and bushes. Lots of food growing wild always meant lots of predators eating the animals that ate the plants. He could think of no reason why this tropical island should be any different from a desert or the forests of the Shins. Just because they hadn't been attacked by an animal yet didn't mean they weren't close by. The vines got fewer, the weeds thinner, easier to chop, and unexpectedly Ryan stepped out of the dense growth onto a grassy field.
There they are.
His fingers felt loose, the corded muscles in his arms moving under his bronzed skin, and the edge of the panga dripped green sap as if it were fresh muti blood. The rest of the companions walked from the greenery and spread out to savor the cool wafting over the grassy savanna. The flat field extended in every direction, only a few individual trees scattered about to break the monotony. There was a faint hint of salt in the air, and they drank in the refreshing breeze. Directly ahead, just beyond a few low groundswells, stood the shining towers of a pre-dark city, monoliths of glass and steel rising majestically above the rolling fields. The windows were all milky white from accumulated dirt and the sheer passage of time, but the buildings appeared intact without nuke or fire damage.
There's going to be more than just copper pipe to loot there. Canned food, new shoes, all sorts of stuff.
We shall find out soon enough, lad.
But within a few yards, Ryan raised a clenched fist and the companions froze in mid-step. They looked around for any possible danger and saw nothing but the grass and the distant ruins. Ryan took another step forward, and the rad counter on his shirt began to click again. He walked a few yards more toward the ruins, and the clicking became louder and faster.
Fire blast. It's hotter than Washington Hole. That was probably the glow we saw at night.
Not torchlight, but rad glow reflected off the glass. Ah, hell.
Maybe there's just a rad pit between us and the city. We could try circling around.
Not with readings like this. The whole end of the island is a death zone.
The jungle is too thick to search.
Take us years to even check a small section.
Which leaves east or west?
J.B. reached into his backpack. Finding the long eyes, he extended the brass to its full length. Found in an antique shop, the ancient device still worked perfectly.
Okay. I can see waves hitting breakers to our right, and some sort of rusted railroad bridge going to what seems to be another island on our left.
Bridges. Not trust.
With good reason.
Like West Virginia.
Right. I say we follow the shore and hope to find something useful. A wreck, maybe? Or a fishing bill?
No, we'll head for the bridge. What do you think, Ryan?
Bridge it is.
Ville on the other side?
Something's on the other side, that's for damn sure. There are a couple of big cats, cougars maybe, tied to leashes in front like guard dogs.
Indeed. Then it most sincerely behooves us to discover exactly what these feline Cerberi are protecting.
Cerberus guarded the gates of hell.
Too true. But let us hope for better than that, dear lady.
Stirring from its nest, the mutie scampered into view and stared dumbfounded. The food was leaving. This had never happened before in its long memory. Always they came to the dead place, started moving slowly, then toppled over, ready to be gathered. Wiggling his hairy body from the cool darkness of the hole under the tree, the mutie started after the two legs, staying far behind them, darting from tree to bush, but always ready to charge at the first hint of them slowing down as the invisible sickness took them. No food had ever escaped, nor would this. The companions were still a good distance from the bridge when the cats rose to their legs and started to growl. Stopping about 50 yards away, Ryan calmly studied the animals and the bridge behind them. The structure stretched across a channel of choppy water with open sea on either end. The bridge itself was a box trestle, the design used for railroad tracks. However, the surface was paved, the asphalt badly cracked and dotted with deep potholes. The strutted girders were dark with corrosion, but still looked strong. Small patches of black paint still showed through the decades of rust.
Acid rain probably helps it stay clean. I've seen it wash rust clean off steel.
Yeah, flesh too.
Beyond the bridge were the gutted remains of a roadway, sections of concrete visible through the wind-blown dirt. It meandered off out of sight into the hills of pine and bushes. Wary of crumbling land, Ryan moved to the edge of the island and glanced into the channel. It had to have been low tide, as the shoreline mark was a good 50 feet above the surface of the choppy water, the bare rock sides of the yawning passage exposed. Schools of rainbow-colored fish darted about in the clear water, and a short way off, a glistening coral reef was heavy with the sleek shells of clams, while fat crabs scuttled about in a shallow tide pool. Whatever else, food was abundant here.
How odd. Those are cougars, not exactly a tropical cat. I would have more expected panthers or cheetahs.
Staring hostily at the companions, the snarling cats were straining at the leash, padding back and forth in their desire to attack the norms. One turned its head to chew on the confining rope and released it immediately, spitting and sneezing, its pink tongue lashing madly.
Wondered why not chew through. Now no. Kim on rope. Smart.
Each cougar possessed two tails, both lashing about in restrained hatred. Aside from that, they seemed quite normal. Just big, and with lots of scars disturbing their sleek tan fur.
Think they're here to keep out people or muties?
Only muties we've seen, Dean, are those condors, and they just fly over.
Must be people, then.
People without blasters.
Ryan holstered his Sig Sauer and eased the long blaster off his shoulder. He hated to waste live rounds on chilling, chained animals, but there was clearly no way past the huge cats and onto the bridge without getting within reach of those deadly claws. Taking a stance, he aimed the long blaster, adjusting the focus on the crosshairs to bring their faces into wire sharpness. When the beasts snapped their attention away from the companions and started to hiss, their tails motionless, fur bristling.
Huh?
Not us. We're much too far away, unless they understand what a blaster can do.
Could be.
Just then, the hair on the back of Ryan's neck started to stir. With battle instincts honed in 100 fights, the man spun from the waist and fired the long blaster. 100 yards away, the giant spider on the ridge gave no reaction as the 7.62-millimeter round hit its bulbous body. It continued to scuttle down the slope, its 8 hairy legs blurs of speed.
Nuke me!
Jack fired the .357 Magnum Colt from his hip. The booming hand blaster blew a lance of flame from its pitted muzzle. There was a ripple in the yellow and black striped fur over the massive torso. Nothing more. Dean raised his own blaster, but didn't fire. The distance was too great yet for the semi-automatic pistol. But the spider was closing in fast. There was no way to tell where its weird, multifaceted eyes were looking, but the boy knew the friends were its goal. The angle of attack was too perfect. The companions were caught between the rocky channel and the cats, with the spider closing the third side of the triangle trap.
Hurry! Form a firing line, my friends!
Doc dropped to a knee, gripping the Lama in both hands. Jack and Dean went down alongside the man, Mildred and Christy standing behind them, forming a wall of blasters. JB passed Mildred the shotgun and switched the Uzi from single shot to full auto.
If we've got to jump, stay away from the coral. It'll slice you apart like barbed wire.
Jump my ass. Get ready to run.
Ryan fired the Steyr twice. The discharges echoed across the grassland, and the ropes tied to the stanchions of the bridge snapped. Instantly, the freed cougars sprang forward, sprinted across the landscape with their legs pumping, backs arcing to propel them with frightening speed directly at the spider. The insect immediately changed course and went toward the approaching animals, its mandibles loudly snapping like distant blaster fire. Staying motionless, the companions anxiously watched as the muties collided. At first, the cats dashed around the towering spider, snapping at its legs, darting forward, only to dodge backward. The insect rushed at them again and again, only to have the guard cat nimbly avoid the rush. Then one cat stood its ground, snarling a challenge. The insect scuttled in for the kill when the second cougar jumped on its back and started ripping out mouthfuls of hairy hide. Squealing in agony, the spider rose onto its hind legs, easily dumping the cat off its back. Tumbling through the air, the cougar landed upright on its paws and raced under the belly of the beast, while the other slashed for the multifaceted eyes with deadly claws. The spider countered both attacks, dropping flat on the ground, avoiding the first cat and catching the second animal underneath. Mewing in pain, the crushed cat squirmed free, one leg dragging limply behind.
Now!
The companions dashed for the bridge. With its speed gone, the second cat tried to defend its mate, but the spider rushed upon the wounded beast and caught its body in the powerful mandibles. Screaming in rage, the cat fought for freedom as the black pincers sawed into its flesh. Red blood gushed out, a leg fell off, the cougar thrashed insanely for the vulnerable face of the insect. Then the pincers closed with a solid click. The animal fell away in two pieces, blood everywhere. Both tails lashing, the other cat didn't make the same mistake and darted among the spider's legs, just nipping here, clawing there. Thick yellow blood flew from the tiny wounds, mixing with the red on the rich soil. Soon, the giant insect started to move more slowly, its legs clumsily avoiding the cat as the mandibles snapped with less force. As the companions reached the bridge, they turned from the bloody combat, and JB took a full minute to check for traps before waving them onward.
All right, let's go!
The spider squealed and the cougar roared as they started across the ancient roadway. There were potholes everywhere, some of them going all the way through, and they could see the bare steel rods set inside the concrete bed and foamy brine below, jagged rocks and coral filling the blue sific waters. Worse, every step they took was starting to shake the weakened structure, the vibrations mounting until it was becoming difficult to walk.
Get off the pavement and onto the girders.
Can't trust this asphalt to hold.
As they rushed to the upright support beams, the shaking bridge pavement shattered into pieces, cracks spreading outward like some terrible disease. Whole sections of asphalt plummeted away to explode into rubble on the coral and outcroppings.
Move!
Christy clumsily raced along the girder to dive for the imagined safety of the next island. She landed sprawling and rolled away to clear the area for the others, who followed close behind. As they painfully stood on the firm ground, the companions watched as the rest of the pre-dark roadway broke loose and dropped into the channel until there was nothing remaining but the steel girders and struts of the trestle. On the other island, the spider triumphantly raised a struggling cougar high in the sky with its serrated mandibles, then dashed the body onto the ground, smashing it to pieces under pounding legs.
It's gonna be a bitch getting back across. The steel looks solid enough, but it'll be slick with spray without the road to block the wash from the waves.
We can tie ropes around each other, and then to the stanchions, the way mountain climbers do.
Yeah, Doc, that'll work. Good idea.
Thank you, madam.
Need explosives, or more Molotovs to handle the spider. Take most of our ammo to chill it from a distance.
Across the channel, the huge insect looked up from gutting the corpse of the cougar and stared directly at the man. If he didn't know better, J.B. would have sworn it understood what he had said. The thought sent a chill up his spine.
Keep moving. Somebody may come to check on the noise.
Ryan headed off the roadway, plunging into the bushes and trees of the cool green forest. With both of his mouths full of meat, the spider paused in tearing off the strips of flesh, the dying cat whimpering in agony. The two legs were gone. Had they deliberately set the cats free to hold it at bay until they could escape? Were they that smart? It was a chilling thought. The cougar eventually died while the spider finished his meal. Afterward, the insect started to turn around and around, kicking a shallow depression in the soft loam. Then he nestled into the hole and began to wiggle his huge body back and forth until the loose soil covered him completely, except for a tiny slit in front of his bulging eyes. He had food and wasn't badly hurt. The wounds would heal quickly with a full belly. So he would wait again for the two legs to return. And this time, he wouldn't wait for them to fall or try to trap the meat. They were too quick, too clever. No, he'd simply leap upon the food the second it came off the iron skeleton, crushing the leader of the pack, then killing the others at his leisure. But for now, he would wait. The food would return. It always did.